the miracles of the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين.
From the sciences that the Shaykh has mastered is Arabic language. There's very few people, a lot of people don't know this about him, but there's very few people at his level in the Arabic, and that's no exaggeration. And that's why somebody who masters the Arabic language sees things in the Quran that nobody else can see. So he said today he's going to talk on the miracle of the Quran, I'jaz al-Quran, so that you don't get overwhelmed with the land, I mean the desert of fiqh. We now go to the ocean of the miracle of Quran.
الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. الباري جل وعلا اقتضت حكمته أن يخلق الإنسان لما خلقه له كما هي عبارة الشافعي رضي الله عنه. هذا الإنسان هذا الخلق العجيب الذي من أهم صفاته أنه يبين عما في ضميره يتحدث يتكلم. وكل شيء في خلق الله عجيب، فكل شيء ميسر لما خلق له. فالإنسان وهو في بطن أمه تهيئ رجلاه للمشي ويداه للإنشاف وعيناه للنظر وأذناه للسمع. هل يكون هذا من غير تقدير قدير وتقدير حكيم؟ تلك صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى، فهو القدير وهو الحكيم. فأول شيء ينبه الإنسان على الخالق هو ما يراه في الكون وما يراه في نفسه. بالطبع سيقول أنا خلقي هديت لشيء قبل أن أوجد، وبالطبع فإن أمي ولا أبي ليس هو الذي هيئني لهذا، فهو أيضا مخلوق منه. عندما يبرز الوجود يجد أمامه هذا العالم الصغير وهو عالم الأم. ثدياها علقت في صدرها ليرضع وليعيش في هذا الصدر، ثم يبرز إلى الأرض، إلى هذا العالم الكبير. والأرض وضعها للأنام، فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب للعصفور والريحان. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان؟ ولا نكذب بشيء من آلاء الله سبحانه وتعالى. هذا أول تنبيه للإنسان، خلقه وخلق الكون. لكن بعد ذلك أعذر إليه بالرسل، أرسل إليه الرسل معذرة إلى ربكم حتى ينقطع عذر الإنسان، حتى لا يقول بعده أن تقولوا إنما أشرك آباؤنا من قبل وكنا ذرية من بعده أفتهلكنا بما فعل المبطلون. فالله سبحانه وتعالى خلق الإنسان وأقام عليه الحجة، ركب فيه ما يعرف به الحقائق. وبعض العلماء ادعى أن هذا هو العهد الذي أخذ على الناس كابن القيم. بعضهم قال إن هذا هو العهد، إن العهد هو ما ركب في الإنسان. وإذا أخذ ربك من بني آدم من ظهورهم ذريتهم وأشهدهم على أنفسهم ألست بربكم؟ قالوا بلى، شهدنا أن تقولوا يوم القيامة إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين، أو تقولوا إنما أشرك آباؤنا من قبل وكنا ذرية بعيد. هذا العهد والناس في عالم الزق كثير من العلماء فسره بأنه عهد حقيقي، وأن الله سبحانه وتعالى أخذ ذرية بني آدم ورد في الحديث أنه أخرجهم كالزهر. وبعض العلماء يرى أن ما ركب في الإنسان من العقل هو مناط هذا العهد. لما يكون من أمر فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى قطع عذره بإرسال الرسل، نبهه بصنعه كما قال ابن أبي زيد القيرواني وأعذر إليه بالرسل. ومقدمة ابن أبي زيد القيرواني في التوحيد هي أفضل كتاب يعلم العوام، من جملتها أن الله نبه الإنسان بصنعته، نبه الإنسان إلى الخالق جل وعلا، ثم عذر إليه قطع عذره بإرسال الرسل. الرسل جاءوا لتذكير الإنسان، ذكر إنما أنت مذكر، فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى، وذكرهم بأيام الله. فالرسل يذكرون الإنسان بما عساه أن يكون نسيه من دين الفطرة. طبعا الإنسان عندما يعيش في هذه الدنيا فإنه قد يتناسى أصله، وقد ينكب على عمله في اليوم والليلة فينسى العاقبة. وهكذا فإن الرسول جاءوا مذكرين بما ركب في الإنسان أصلا من الفطرة. الرسل هم رجال اختارهم الله سبحانه وتعالى لتبليغ كلامه، لتبليغ أمره ونهيه. فالله سبحانه وتعالى له الخلق وله الأمر، له الخلق يخلق ما يشاء، وله الأمر يأمر بما يشاء. فحياة الإنسان تقوم على جناحين، هما جناح الخلق وجناح الأمر، أي جناح المادي وجناح الخلق. وإذا كان قد ركب بالإنسان ما يستطيع به استكناها سنن الله سبحانه وتعالى في خلقه وتطوير حياته وتحسينها بحسب الإمكان من إثارة الأرض وتحريكها، والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول أثار الأرض وعمرها أكثر مما عمرها، الإثارة تسبق كل عمارة، فأثار كلمة كثيفة في القرآن الكريم، معناه حركوها للزراعة وحركوها للبناء، ونقبوا ما في بطنها لإخراج المياه، ونقبوا ما في بطن الأرض أيضا لاستكشاف المحاكم، كل هذا إثارة. لا تتصور عمارة إلا بإثارة. إن كان هذا في مقدور الإنسان وفي فطرته، فإن أمرا آخر وهو القوانين الخلقية يحتاج فيه الإنسان إلى رسالة الرسل، وهذا ما أشار إليه القرآن، وأثار الأرض وعمروها أكثر مما عمروها وجاءت رسلهم بالبينات. جناح الآخر من الخلافة الراشدة في الأرض وجاءت رسلهم بالبينات. هؤلاء الرسل يقدمون أنفسهم إلى البشر مرسلين من الله سبحانه وتعالى لتبليغ رسالة، لتبليغ عالم الأمر، لا له الخلق والأمر. ما هو مطلوب منك من السلوك في هذه الدنيا؟ قد يدرك الإنسان بفطرته الخير والشر، لكنه قد لا يدرك كل الخير ولا يدرك كل الشر، لكنه أيضا لن يدرك قطعا ما هو جزاؤه على هذا الخير وما هو جزاؤه على هذا الشر، لأنه من المعبرات من وراء عالم هذه الحياة لا بد أن يعبر جسر الحياة عن طريق الموت إلى جسر الآخرة حتى يرى ما هو مدخر له من خير أو شر حسب حصيلة حياته في هذه الدنيا. طبعا الإنسان لا يمكن أن يحاجج فيها، لأنه أولا ما أشتهم خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت منتقلا المضلين عضدا، يعني ما سألك الله سبحانه وتعالى عن خلقك لم تستأذن لتبرز إلى هذا الكون، لكن حكمته اقتضت أن يبرز مخلوقا في هذا الكون ليحمله الأمانة. إن عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا.
The Shaykh said after seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Allah and praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began by seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan, and then by reciting the opening lines of Surah Ar-Rahman, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in translation, Ar-Rahman, the Merciful, has taught the Qur'an, He created the human being,
and he taught the human being articulation or the ability to speak. And so he says it is from the wisdom of our Creator. His wisdom has necessitated, brought forth the creation of the human being. And he said this unusual creature, the human being, who from the most important aspects or characteristics of this creature is his ability to articulate what he has in his consciousness. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this creature and then facilitated for him his purpose, so that we see that everything has a purpose. He said if we look at this creature at the outset of his journey in this ephemeral world, we find him in the womb of his mother. And he said that in this womb, his hands begin to be formed. And the formation of these hands is in order for him to, that in this world he will grasp things. His feet begin to be formed. And the wisdom behind that formation that begins to occur in the belly of his mother is that he'll one day walk on his feet, that his eyes begin to form in the womb of his mother, the purpose of which is that one day he will see with those eyes. His ears begin to be formed in the womb of his mother, that one day he will hear with those ears. And all of the characteristics of the human that are fashioned in the womb of his mother. And then he said, is this possible without taqdeer? Is this possible without determination? That there is a determining force, an intelligence behind all of this occurrence? And he said, and then we find that this child comes out of his mother's womb as a entering into this world. And this vast world he finds himself in at that point is no larger than the breast of his mother. So he said he comes out and his world at that point is nothing larger than these two objects that have been placed on the chest of his mother to be his object of desire for a certain stage of his life. And then at a certain point, that object of desire is removed and the next phase begins. And so if you watch the phases of the human being, you see this extraordinary taqdeer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, it would be natural for the human being who would reflect on all of this that is occurring in his own self, that he should say, naturally, I have been created for a purpose. That all of this that I find, the world that I find myself in, this universe, and then my presence in this universe with these gifts that I have been given, are for a reason. So he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the earth we have put for these creatures. We have given the earth as a place for the creatures to live on this earth. And he said that Allah has created this universe, placed this human being in the context of his universe, and then he has sent him messengers. And the reason that he has sent him messengers is that they have no excuse when they are raised up. That when they are raised up, they will not be able to say, I wasn't told why I'm here. They will have to face their Creator. And he said that they cannot be like those who will say, are we destroyed because we found our ancestors worshipping idols and we did what they did? Is this a reason to destroy us? But no, there have been messengers that were sent that told them that they couldn't do this, that told them that it was wrong.
that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He brought forth Adam's offspring from the loins of Adam alayhi salam, and then He caused those offspring to bear witness why they were created, who was their creator. And this is in order that they have no proof for claiming ignorance. And he said our ulama have differed about the meaning of this. Some of our ulama said that this is in fact a true ahad. It is a true contract that occurred between the Creator and His creation in a place, and that all of us are aware of that at some level. This is one understanding. He said another understanding is that the reality is, after the prophets have come, that this is also the same reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us bear witness because of the messengers that have come. And he said, so that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done in sending His messengers is that He has removed the excuse of ignorance from the human being. The human being has no excuse at this point with his Lord, because the messengers have delivered their message. And this is why the first and foremost purpose of the messenger in relation to the people that he comes is to remind them of something that they knew before. And this is why Allah says, remind them, وَذِكِّرْ, if that remembrance will benefit them, remind them that the messengers were sent as reminders. Remind them of the days of Allah. Remind them of these things that they already know, so that they can benefit from this, and so that they cannot pretend to have not known these things on that day. So that they cannot pretend to not know what the end result of this journey is. So he says, so the messengers of Allah have come to remind the human being, to give him this tabligh, this message that they've been commanded to convey, the conveyance of these messages. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has not only the creation, but the command, the affair. لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَلَهُ الْأَمَرُ. The Shaykh said that this is because the world that we are in has two wings. The first wing is the material wing, and this is the creation, and this is Allah's. Allah has created the material world, and this is belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is a second aspect to this world that we find ourselves in, and that is the spiritual aspect of the world. It is not simply a material world that we are in, but it is also a world of amr. It is a world that is infused with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is permeating the material existence. And these are the two aspects of this world that we find ourselves in. The khalqi and the amri. The maddi and the ruhani. These two aspects. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, look at those who went before you, how they moved this earth and cultivated it. And he said this word, atharuha, is from a very rich Arabic word. Ithara, he said, ithara precedes the actual shaking of this earth, the moving of this earth, the transformation of this earth precedes human civilization. So human beings are creatures that impact their world before they civilize it. And he said this ithara occurs. Allah says that those who went before you, they moved this earth, they transformed this earth, they cultivated this earth, they civilized this earth, and they did it in a way that is even greater than you yourself. And so he said that this is because ithara, this shaking of the earth, this impacting the earth, precedes the cultivation of the earth. This is in our agriculture, that we shake the earth, we plant our seeds, we build upon the earth, we have to move things, we do all of this, and this precedes
the civilization, the cultivation of the earth itself. And this is what the human being does. He brings forth from the earth its treasures. He brings forth from the earth its resources, and that is the ithara. And then he uses those resources to cultivate, to civilize, to build his cultures and his societies. And so the Shaykh said, but if you look at the verse, after Allah says, أَثَارُوهَا وَعَمَرُوهَا, he said, and there came to them messengers. So again, the material aspect of the world is always infused with the spiritual, that it is not simply the material cultivation of the earth, but it is also the spiritual cultivation of the earth, which is part of the aims and purposes of our creation itself, and it is these two aspects of the human being that must move hand in hand, like the two wings, in order for this to take flight, to be balanced. And so the Shaykh said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he asked, what then is requested of us in terms of our character, in terms of our behavior on this earth? Because if we look, we realize that this world is a realm of good and evil, and we have been commanded to act accordingly. And he said, and we should realize that no human being is capable of doing all of the good that is possible to do in his short lifetime, nor is he capable of achieving all of the evil that is possible. That a human being is limited. And so it's important for him to move across the bridge of his life. And it is not until the end of the, when he comes to the end of the bridge of this world, that he can assess his life. His life is not any one particular point in time. It is the accumulation of an entire lifetime before it can be assessed in terms of his achievements. And he said, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we did not show them their creation. We did not allow them to see themselves coming into existence, nor did we allow them to see the heavens and the earth coming into existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we placed this trust before the heavens, and then the earth, and then the mountains, and all of them refused. All of them expressed their incapacity at carrying this trust, except for the human being. He carried it, and he was continually oppressive, and his ignorance was constant in doing that.
فإذا كان العقل البشري جعله الله سبحانه وتعالى قادرا على استكناء هذا الكون وعلى معرفة وسائل إشباع الغرائز المادية للإنسان، فإن العقل البشري لا يستطيع اكتشاف بعض المقولات التي هي فوق سقف العقل، كما أن هناك أشياء فوق سقف النظر لا يستطيع الإنسان أن يراها، فكذلك العقل له سقف. فالجانب الروحاني يحتاج إلى مادة ليتجاوز هذا السقف وليعرف جملة من الحقائق لا يستطيع أن يعرفها إلا عن طريق الرسل. من هو الخالق جل وعلا وما لا يريد من عباده، وما هو مصير هذا المخلوق الذي خلق على هذه الأرض وأنزل في هذا الفندق في هذا السكن؟ كنا صور سيدنا آدم عليه السلام عندما نزل إلى الأرض وجد هذا الكوكب صالحا لسكنها فيه سفرات. أفحسبتم أنما خلقناكم عبثا وأنكم إلينا لا ترجعون؟ فتعالى الله الملك الحق لا إله إلا هو رب العرش الكريم. ومن يدعو مع الله إلها آخر لا برهان له به فإنما حسابه عند ربه إنه لا يفلح الكافرون. وقل رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. فالإنسان لم يخلق عبدا، لكن لأي شيء خلق يحتاج إلى أن يسمع بيان من الخالق: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، ما أريد منهم رزقا وما أريد منهم جنون. هذا الجانب هو الذي جاء به الرسول. هذه المقولات الماورائية التي فوق سقف العقل هي التي جاء الرسول لبيانها، ليبينوا للناس لما خلقهم الله سبحانه وتعالى، وما هو مصيرهم بعد هذه الحياة المؤقتة على هذه الأرض، ومن هو خالقهم جل وعلا، ما هي صفاته، ما هي أسماؤه. تلك مجمل الرسالة التي جاء بها كل الرسل بعند الله سبحانه وتعالى في قرون طويلة. نحن لا نعرف تحديدا تلك الأمم ولا أولئك الرسل. الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول نبيه: منهم من قصصنا عليك ومنهم من نقص عليك، وما كان لرسولنا في أبياته إلا بإذن الله. لكن جاءوا في آماد مختلفة. طبعا المواصلات بين بني آدم كانت محدودة، وكانت الرسالات شبه قبلية. كان الرسول يبعث إلى قومه خاصة، وبعث إلى الأحمر والأسود كما قال سبحانه وتعالى، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول: قل يا أيها الناس إني رسول الله إليكم جميعا الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض لا إله إلا هو يحيي ويميت. إلى أن ختم الرسالة بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت رسالة عامة لجميع البشر، لا تعني أمة، لا تختص بأمة عن أمة. فكما أن ملك الباري جل وعلا كاملا، فكذلك الرسالة النبوية لجميع هؤلاء المخلوقات على وجه الأرض لجميع الناس. ولهذا كان القرآن يشير إلى: قل يا أيها الناس إني رسول الله إليكم جميعا الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض لا إله إلا هو يحيي ويميت. وهي من خصائص النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله سبحانه يقول عن موسى: هدى لبني إسرائيل. ولكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: رحمة للعالمين، وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. هؤلاء الرسل تجمعهم الدعوة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى، تعريف الناس بالله سبحانه وتعالى، تنبيه الفطرة إلى خالقها، تنبيه الإنسان إلى الكمال، لأنه ليس فقط مخلوقا خلق ليأكل ويشرب ويتمتع بما في الأرض ثم تنتهي مدته في الأرض فلا أثر ولا عين، بل إنه جاء للخلود، لأن هذه المرحلة هي مرحلة مؤقتة من حياته، لكنها في غاية الأهمية لأنها تحكم مرحلة أخرى مفتوحة. طبعا الإنسان عقله لا يستطيع أن ينكر هذا، لأن الذي خلقه في الدنيا هو الذي سيحييه في الآخرة. وقد أصبح الآن عندنا ما يسمى بالاستنساخ، وأصبحت يعني كل إنسان، كل جزء من الإنسان واضح جدا الذي صدق ما جاء به، ما جاءت به نبوته، أن الإنسان يبعث. وقد جاء بعض الأحاديث من أجل ذلك، يعني لأن جزءا منه تحل فيه الروح فينطلق من هذا الجزء يكون الإنسان ثم يحيى. لكن هؤلاء الرسل كيف قدموا أنفسهم؟ يقدمون أنفسهم إلى الناس بأنهم خطبوا من الله سبحانه وتعالى، لأن الخالق جل وعلا خاطب، وهذا الخطاب ليس لغيرهم. طبعا الناس كلها تعيش في حياتها، لكنها لا تتجاوز حواسها، فيأتي الرسول ويقدم نفسه بأنه خطب من الله سبحانه وتعالى. طبعا عندما يقدم نفسه هكذا فإنه يقدم جملة من البراهين إلى الناس: ما من نبي إلا وأوتي ما مهره آمنا عليه البشر، كما يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: وإنما كان ما أوتيته وحيا فأرجو أن أكون أكثرهم تابعا. كل واحد يقدم شيئا من شأنه أن يؤمن الناس به، معجزات سماء، معجزات متنوعة، قد تكون معجزات مادية. موسى الله سبحانه وتعالى أعطاه العصا وأن ألقي عصاك، فلما رآها تهتز كأنها جان ولا مدبر ولم يعقد: يا موسى أقبل ولا تخفني من الآمنين. والسورة الأخرى: لا تخفني إلى أخاه الذي موسى. اليد البيضاء: وآتنا ثمود الناقة مبصرة، آية مبصرة
ناقة ليست كالنوق الأخرى عجيبة. عيسى عليه السلام يحيي الموتى يحيي الأكمه والأبرص ويحيي الموتى بإذن الله. يخبر الناس بما في بيوتهم وما يدخرون علو الغيب. فالرسل يتقدمون الناس بمعجزات وبآيات بينات ويتقدمون بالكلم الطيب ليوفق الله من شاء بهدايته فيتبع سبيلهم فينجو ويهلك من شاء بعدله فلا يرى إلا الدنيا فينحرف عن طريق الرسل فيهلك. جاء نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم خاتما للرسل ومكملا بهذه الرسالات ومهيمنا عليها مؤتمنا عليها، لم يجي مناقضا لهؤلاء الرسل، وإنما جاء ليقول أنا مكمل لهذه السلسلة التي أرسل الله لبني آدم قبل نهاية الناس، قبل نهاية وجود الناس على هذه الأرض، وهو وجود سينتهي بالتأكيد. ما وجدوا في هذه الأرض يبقوا فيها أبدا، لكنهم وجدوا ليبقوا فترة من الزمن، أجل لكل أمة أجل ولكل أجل كتاب. ما تقدم به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما قال إني رسول الله إليكم جميعا، هذا هو موضوع هذه الكلمة.
The Shaykh says, when we look at this human intellect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, he said it has the extraordinary capacity of fulfilling and satiating its instinctual needs and urges. It can understand many aspects of the universe it finds itself in and is able to act accordingly for its own benefit. It's able to fulfill these needs through its understanding and understand much about the world that it finds itself in. But this intellect is not capable of understanding everything. Like somebody who is in a room that has a roof, he can only see as far as the roof. He's not capable of seeing that something is outside or above the roof. And he said, so just as a building has a roof and the one inside the building is not able to penetrate the material roof, so is the intellect to man. The intellect has a roof of understanding beyond which it cannot see. We can see that this is in fact the purpose of the prophets, to bring to them news of what lies beyond the roof, the ceiling of understanding. He said that the human being is told by these prophets what its purpose is. Just as Adam alayhi salam left paradise, descended to this planet that he found himself on, and found that this planet was in fact pre-prepared for him to live appropriately. And then he was, because of being in his dominion, he was called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the messengers were sent to remind others, do you call on gods beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created you, has created, and to him is the dominion of the heavens and the earth? Say, O my Lord, forgive and have mercy on me, as you are the best of those who show mercy. Was man created in vain when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have not created the jinn, the jinn world and the humans except to worship. We don't ask for them their provision, rather we provide for them. And Allah is, I am the provider, all powerful. So these intelligibles that are metaphysical in nature, they're beyond the realm we find ourselves in, and yet they cannot be comprehended by the intellect alone. Things like, why was the human being created? What is the purpose of his creation while he resides here? Where is his end result? Where is his destiny, his ultimate and final destiny? What is the nature of his creator? What is the nature of the attributes of his creator? This is the role, this is the aim and purpose of the prophets. We can see in the past, if we look in ancient history, we notice that human beings did not have the ability to communicate through great distances by the nature of their limitations in those respective times and places. And so if we look at the messengers that went before us, and some of them we have been told about in the Quran, and others Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we have not told you their stories. The Shaykh said that these messengers were in a sense almost tribal in their message, in that their message was limited to certain geographical and ethnical areas and ethnical groupings, that they were not sent to all of humanity. They were sent to specific places and to specific peoples. And this was because of the nature of the ancient world. But he said, as this world began to change, and the nature of the world began to change, then the nature of the message changed. So what was a specific message was universalized in the final message, which is the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this last prophet to all of humanity. And his message was a message that would be able to reach all of humanity because of this change that occurred. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, I was sent. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded to say in the Quran, say, I am a messenger of Allah to all of you, to all of humanity. The one who possesses the dominions of the heavens and the earth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was preceded by prophets who were like him in that they were sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but unlike him in that they were sent to specific peoples, just as Musa alayhi salam was sent to Bani Israel. He was not sent to any other people, he was sent to the Israelites. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam was sent according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a mercy to all of the world. He was sent as previous prophets were sent to waken the human being up to his human potential, his potential to perfection. He was sent to remind human beings that they were not simply created to eat and to drink and to procreate. Simply to spend these short periods of life and then to leave this material world and that there would be nothing that follows that. Rather, he was sent, like previous prophets, to remind human beings, you were created for eternity. And although your short period on this life is insignificant in relation to that time period, it is of the utmost urgency and importance because what you do here dictates what eternity will be like for you in the open realm of infinity. The human being, he is corruptible in his material form. But he is incorruptible in his material form, his spiritual form. But even in his material form, the element of incorruptibility is there. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us in a hadith that there is one portion of the human being that cannot be destroyed. And this is called this wondrous end of the human being. The ajbid dhinam, which is in the area of the coccyx, and this is linguistically, it is in the area of the coccyx of the body, and this is something, as you know, the evolutionists have never been able to explain it. It's considered a vestigial piece of ossification on the skeleton of the human being. But the point that the Shaykh is making is that this will not be destroyed, because it is from this that the human being is recreated. And so, when you look at the messengers and the importance that they have in the human story, how is it that they present themselves to their fellow creatures? Because they have this unique function amongst humanity. How is it that they present themselves? What is the way in which they address humanity? He said, what they tell other human beings is that I have been given a message from your Creator. Your Creator and my Creator has spoken to me and through me to you. But like anyone who puts forth a proposition, he has to bring his proofs with him. Because this is the nature of the rational human being. He desires proof for propositions presented to him. And so just as the prophets bring this proposition that they were sent by the Creator, they also bring with them proofs in order to establish the veracity of that claim. And what are those proofs? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, just as the prophets came before me with their proof, I come with mine, and I hope that I will be the most, in terms of the previous prophets, that I will have the most of those who come to the truth through me. Some of those proofs are material proofs. For instance, the staff of Musa alayhi salam was a material proof. Musa was commanded in the Quran to throw down your staff. And suddenly it appeared before them as a large snake wriggling with great speed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a hand that became as the whitest of white and told him not to fear, but to bring forth his hand, and it would be white without any harm, like a vitiligo or some type of disease. We see that the prophets were given material proofs like camels. A she-camel that was wondrous and different from other camels. Born of a rock, this was a miracle that this prophet was given as a proof that his prophecy was true. Also, prophets were given the ability to heal. Isa alayhi salam was given the ability to heal the leper, to give sight to the blind, to give hearing to the deaf, that he was able to see in the houses of Bani Israel and to tell them what they were keeping in their houses, of their provision. He was given these miracles as proofs of the truth of what he came with. This was in order that those who were freed of the fetters of destruction in the next world would be freed through belief in these prophets. And that those who were destroyed would be destroyed with clear proofs, because of clear proofs from their Lord. Some, the Shaykh said, are people who could only see the material. They didn't have the ability to perceive the spiritual truths that were being presented to them because of their love of this world, because of their loss in the material, and so they took themselves to destruction. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood and conveyed to us that he was in fact somebody who was not bringing anything new, but rather completing and complementing the chain that had preceded him. He saw himself as the final cornerstone of a previous building that had been built, and he completed it by the cornerstone of his prophecy. He understood that he was the last prophet that would be sent to humanity for the last phase of humanity, because like everything, this world will come to an end. It has a fixed time. The Quran said, every appointed time has been decreed. determined. And the time of this world has been decreed and determined. And human existence has been decreed and determined. So this prophet was sent. And then we look, what then is the proof that this prophet gave to humanity to establish the truth of the proposition that he brought to men, that there is no God but Allah, and that he is the messenger of Allah. And this is the subject of our talk.